I know some of you are looking at the clock, and I know what time it is. I know I can readily be accused of not paying attention to time on Sunday, but I'll make you a deal this morning. I'll keep an eye on the clock. You keep an eye on Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and we'll do our best to mold and make this. So some of you are saying, Wade, you've already preached two sermons. You're just finding a way to get three sermons in this morning with a charge of baptism and the officer installation. But I think this will go well with what God would say to us this morning from His Word in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So you keep your eye on God's Word. I'll keep my eye on the time. Let's make a deal. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the privilege that is ours to come to rejoice, to worship, to extol and magnify that You are the giver of all good gifts. We thank You for the gifts of leaders that You have given us. And now, Father, we pray that You would teach us and equip us and encourage us for the service of ministry. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved, two verses this morning, verse 11 and 12, Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, verse 11. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Leadership works. All the time, leadership works. The real question is, where are leaders leading? Before my lifetime, but very important to my church background and growth in the church, there was a seminal debate in the church that I grew up in the Southern Presbyterian Church. A man named Nelson Bell came back from the mission field. He had been a medical doctor and missionary in China. Nelson Bell, you might know as Billy Graham's father-in-law. When he came back from the mission field, the church that he had loved, the Southern Presbyterian Church that he had loved, was embroiled in a debate. It seemed there was a man at Richmond Seminary who had formed a secret society. It was called the Fellowship of St. James. And in that fellowship, he was garnering support and trying to take over the offices of the denomination because he wanted to join the Southern Church to the Northern Church and wanted the Southern and Northern Church to join the World Council of Churches, which essentially believes nothing. But in that, he was seeking to undercut the authority of Scripture, water down the understanding of biblical theology in the confession, and do away with such doctrines that he saw as minimal, like the virgin birth, the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ, things that he thought were decisive. And he, as a leader, was actually having great success in beginning to turn the tide towards what we might call theologically liberalism. Nelson Bell and his pastor began to write a journal called the Southern Presbyterian Journal, where they began to talk about these things. Leadership works, and it matters where leaders are leading. The way that this man, Ernest Thompson, of the St. James Fellowship had been working, he had been working covertly and coercing. But when brought into the open, there was quite an outcry. It wasn't a total change, but there was definite change. Why? Because God gives leaders to His church. And beloved, you ought to pray for the leaders in your church. Because where your leaders go, your church goes. And there is only one person that your leaders are to be following, and that's the path of Jesus. Look at verse 16. We won't get there today, but notice the whole idea of where Paul is pressing us in the unity and use of our gifts is towards this. That we are to be built up in Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. But we can't build ourselves up in love unless we follow Jesus. And so your leaders need to be held accountable to follow Jesus, right? Now, our passage this morning should really speak to the pastor. But you have to hold the pastor accountable. And so I'm going to teach it to you so that you can, because there is a job that the officers in the church are given. That is to equip the saints for the work of service, for the building up of the body. That is God's goal. And so here's my premise this morning. In the few moments we have, my premise is this. Is that the church needs called and capable leaders to grow and equip the body. Here's a truism in the church. The truism is this. The body rarely exceeds the godliness of its leaders. The body, that is the people in the congregation, rarely exceeds the godliness of its leaders. So much so is that true that even if it happens for a short time, it won't happen for long. Unless God brings renewal and revival, things begin to go downhill. That's why you see churches grow and churches die. Essential to the importance of the churches are the offices of the church and those who are to teach us to follow Christ as they follow Christ. Isn't that what Paul says? Follow me as I follow Jesus. So can I beseech your prayers for those who are pastors here, those who are elders here, those who are deacons here? Because the goal of every leader in the church is to follow Jesus and to have you follow Jesus. And the goal is to follow Jesus in such a way that others are equipped, that is you, the congregation, to be ministers in His kingdom. That's the goal. The goal of a pastor is not to serve you and to do your work for you. You have a work in ministry. The work of a pastor and elders and deacons is to help others find their gifts and use their gifts and serve their gifts. Now, we went there last week. The master of true church growth is who? Jesus. And He is the one who gifts His church. So He's put us together. He's given us multiple gifts to be used in His church. But He's given us certain ones who are to lead us. And in verse 11, we see that. We see the gift of godly leaders. Verse 11. Notice there in verse 11. And He gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists. And then depending on your translation, it may say pastor, teacher, or pastor and teacher. I take the last one there, pastor, teacher, to be one category, one leader. A leader with two sets of gifts, as it were, shepherding, caring, and teaching, exhortation. Now, you know I like to talk, right? That's the teaching part. The pastoring part is the coming alongside throughout the week, the shepherding aspect. But what I want you to see is that it's God's gift to God's congregation that He gives leaders. And this is what gifted leaders are to do. Gifted leaders are to build up followers to be disciples. And gifted disciplers are to build into others the truths of Christ so that they can be gifted disciples. And it all starts over. That's the goal of the church. For gifted leaders to lead so that others are grown up in Jesus Christ. You see, the leaders of the church are a gift to the body of Christ. Now, this list is not exhaustive. There are other lists of leadership in the church. We've already read a passage on one, elders and deacons, this morning. But notice, there are certain offices that were given to the church for the promotion of the gospel worldwide. There in verse 11, it included apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. Now, I'll take those in two categories. One, because the first two were foundational to the church and the formation of the church. Now, there is a sense in which we can talk about anyone who is a believer as an apostle and a prophet. But that's lowercase a, lowercase p. Wait, why do you say that? Because an apostle is a sent one. My in-laws, who are here with us right now, they're sent ones to Albania sharing the gospel. They have an apostolic ministry. But they're not taking new revelation. They're taking God's true revelation into Albania. You see, there is a sense in which every Christian is to be a sent one into the world. But here, apostles, the apostles that are mentioned here were foundational. Go back to Ephesians 2:20 there. You see, there was the foundation of the building of the household of faith. It included who? Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, built upon the apostles and prophets. There's the foundation. When the foundation is done, it's done. Apostles, in the capital sense, capital A, capital P, were for a time, and that's how we got God's Word. I don't expect that there would be an apostle who would come up and say, I've got a new chapter to the Bible. I'll smack him with my Bible if he begins to talk that way. Why? Because God gave His truth and has revealed it, and He's given us Scripture. And so the capital A apostle, God's setting the foundation. That's true with the prophets, right? There's no junior varsity prophets today. You know, to be a prophet in the Old Testament, you had to get it right all the time or you were stoned, right? It's a tough job being a prophet or a son of a prophet. If you missed, you were out. You really don't want to be a prophet in that sense. But there is a prophetic sense that goes on today. I'm preaching. I'm not foretelling, but I'm forthtelling the truths of Christ. The Puritans called that the art of prophecy, the telling forth of God. So there is a sense in whichever you communicate God, there is that prophetic sense. But in the office, it was contained for a time. But there are offices that are for today. That's the evangelist. Now, every Christian is called to be an evangelist, right? Called to share the gospel. But God gifts certain people to the office of evangelists to share. We usually use those in our denomination as church planners. We commission them as evangelists to go out and start churches. Why? Because church planning is a great way to see conversions. And so there you have it, an evangelist. But then there's the pastor teacher. That's the title I prefer, by the way. I don't like senior pastor. Jesus is senior pastor. I like pastor teacher. Why? Because it's the biblical title here. It encompasses really what the call of a preacher is, to teach the truths of Christ and to shepherd and love the souls of His people. Now, here's the point. That is to be a gift to the congregation. The goal of the pastor, teacher, and the evangelist is not to bring new things, but to give fresh understanding to the truths of Scripture. And that's what your heart needs. That's why I'm asking you to watch the Bible and not the clock. Because that's what God gives us in leaders. The leaders in the church need to be those who would speak the truths of God. You see, here's the goal of a good leader in the church, one who would call, lead, protect, and care for the people of God. I like the way Kent Hughes says it. Kent Hughes says it this way, that the evangelists are the obstetricians of the church, and the pastor teachers are the pediatricians of the church. One births the church, one grows the church up for the glory of God. But we need that. But you know, you live in a day that really wants to defy authority. So it begins to defy the nature of the offices that God's given to the church. Elder, deacon, pastor, teacher. And so there's a call for us this morning to remember this, that godly leaders are a gift of God to the people of God. Godly leaders are a gift of God to the people of God. They are to give direction to the following of Christ. The wedding I did yesterday was in Flower Mound. You know, I've never had a GPS system. Y'all know the GPS. Some of y'all have those GPS systems. I've ridden with you. You got those GPS systems that tells you the turn. The first time I ever desired to have one was yesterday. Man, the roads are crazy there. Some of y'all are from Dallas or North Dallas. How do you live there? I mean, there's like construction everywhere. And street signs make no sense because they're all uprooted and put different places. You know, so I'm looking for signs and I pass it and I see it going back the other way. I wish I had one of those GPSs that would have given me turn by turn direction. I want to spiritually say to you that that's exactly what God's doing with spiritual leaders. Is that sometimes in life, is it not true in your life that the way gets a little foggy, hazy, hard to understand? And what a godly leader does is take the Word of God and uses it as the map that gives direction to your soul. That's the gift of God to the people of God when He gives godly leaders. So pray for godliness among your leadership. Two things a leader should do. If you wonder why you're here this morning, let me tell you why you're here this morning. It's because God wants to encourage you with the truth that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. If you don't know why you're here, I promise you that's why you're here this morning. Jesus has brought you to see that He is the only solution to your true need. Now, you may not know what your true need is, but come talk to me. That's why you're here. You see, a godly leader gives encouragement that there are answers to every problem in your soul, that God supplies those answers. But a godly pastor, leader, teacher, elder, deacon also gives exhortation. You see, the office is to be twofold, to encourage you in the truths of Christ and to give you a kick in the pants when you need it. The church is not just a motivational spiel where you come to get your happy pill for the next week. Sometimes it's not just coming to get a pat on the back, but a kick in the pants so you'll walk in honor of Christ. So look for those in the leadership of the church. In the leadership of the church, you should see those following Christ follow only those who are following Christ. And then see if they encourage you and exhort you in the way of Christ. Now, secondly, I told you I'd move faster. You're still going to get out late, but we're moving faster. The goal of godly leaders. Not only the gift of godly leaders, I want you to see the goal of godly leaders. The church needs capable and called leaders to grow and equip the body. The body rarely exceeds its leadership. Why? Because the very job description of a leader is what? To equip. Notice there in the text, what is the goal of godly leaders? To equip the saints for works of ministry and to serve in the body of Christ. There's the goal. To equip. That word equip there means to perfect, to further. It's really a medical term in the Greek, which means to restore. That's the goal of a leader, is to equip. The goal of a leader is to make other leaders, is to take followers and to transform them into those who will share the love of Christ. That's the real goal. Pastor, teacher, evangelist, elder, deacon, leaders within the congregation, to grow up those who can go out. Let me illustrate it this way. You know, you've got two pastors, full-time staff here, Pastor John and myself. In an average week, we work 50 to 60 hours a week, sometimes more if there's a crisis or a little event, but 50 to 60 hours a week. And we'd say, so you'd say in an average week, out of your pastors, you get 100 to 120 hours a week. You think we can accomplish all the ministry God has for Westminster Presbyterian Church with two guys who get to work that much? I'll tell you, absolutely not. But here's how God has it designed. You know, we have 300, not all here today, I realize that, but we have 300 members here at Westminster. 300 members using their gifts. What if 300 members were using their gifts just 3 hours a week for the cause of the kingdom, for the glory of Christ in His church? How many hours of ministry would occur a week? 900. You know how many paid staff you'd have to try to accomplish that kind of ministry? And I promise it wouldn't be as effective, more than this church will ever afford. And that's not the goal. It's not the goal to see how many pastors we can have on paid staff here. It's the goal of the church to proclaim Jesus Christ, to glorify Jesus Christ, and in the midst of that, to serve Christ for the world's sake. Wow, that bounces, doesn't it? But beloved, that's what I want you to get excited about. We need each other. The church doesn't go where God intends it to here at Westminster unless you are participating. Yeah, maybe God's called you to follow, but He's called you to follow in a certain way so that equipped, restored, renewed, rejoicing in Christ, we go to work with the gifts He's given. You might say, it's a little empty in here today. It's summer. It'll grow a little in the fall. But I'll tell you what, if God uses us and equips us for the goals He has for us, this room will not hold what God has to do here in Bryant College Station. So we need to be reminded that the goal of the leader is not to do the work for you, but to equip you to do service in His church. You serve, beloved, in the ministry of Christ. And there is no greater calling. Equipped to serve. Now notice, I didn't give you 40 or 50 hours. I know you've got a calling yourself in God's world. But there's not a one of you who can tell me you're too busy for 3 to 5 hours. Matter of fact, if you come and tell me you're too busy to serve in Jesus' church 3 to 5 hours a week, I'm going to tell you, you got wrong priorities, right? Why? Because God doesn't call us to be ecclesiastical hitchhikers. Just to show up on Sunday and enjoy a service and turn around and do our thing. That is the real problem with the church today, by the way. Many want to be served rather than served. But I will tell you, you will never get out of church what God intends for you to get. You'll never understand His glory and the beauty of His person until you are serving Him in the purposes He has created you to serve. And here's the beauty. God's given each of you a gift for His glory. And I don't have those gifts. And you may not have my gifts, but God has put us together so that we can serve Bryant College Station, we can serve the nations, we can serve the King on high for His glory. And that is our goal. To love Him, to know Him, to make Him known. Your top of your worship folder has a definition that's anonymous of a leader. I have no idea who said it, but a leader has been defined as one who knows the way, goes the way, shows the way. There are no bystanders in the kingdom of God, beloved. So let us dig deep and let us carry forth the cause of Christ. You'll never do it alone, but in the strength of Christ, we may grow together, love together, and go together in the service of Christ. Now, for those of you who have that sermon outline and see all the things I didn't cover, we'll get there another time. But I want to close with this. Here is God's goal for Westminster, or for your church if you're visiting us this morning. And if you don't have a church, we'd love to talk to you about making this your church. But the goal for God's church is to equip us in His grace to serve Him for His glory. We'll flesh that out a little more, but just chew on that this week, okay? Chew on God's goal for you in God's kingdom. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank You for the privilege that is ours to come before You, to receive grace, to enjoy Your presence. Now make us ministry participants. Calling us in Christ, send us forth in Christ, we pray this day in Jesus' name. Amen.